Hey everyone, welcome over to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I want to thank our sponsor, Ladder, for sponsoring today's video. Today, the Israeli Defense Force has announced that they have opened up the Kerem Shalom border crossing. Now, I'm taping this episode right around 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. The Israeli Defense Force says that within an hour of this being open, they have had at least a dozen humanitarian aid trucks pouring into the Gaza Strip. Now, that is in addition to a humanitarian aid drop that U.S. CENTCOM says it conducted yesterday into the northern portion of the Gaza Strip. To date, U.S. CENTCOM has dropped over 1,200 tons of humanitarian aid into Gaza itself. This has included things such as MREs or prepackaged meals for the Palestinian people. Additionally, over the last 24 hours, it looks like the IDF has taken out the top naval commander for Hamas inside Gaza City. Now, this airstrike that took him out was done in conjunction with Shin Bet, and undoubtedly, it's actually going to be a pretty decent blow to Hamas. However, I've got a feeling that they're just going to end up replacing the guy. For those of you that don't know, Hamas does, in fact, have some form of a naval force. As a matter of fact, after Israel launched their attack into the Gaza Strip, they ended up having to lock down the Med, and they were taking out several waterborne craft filled with Hamas fighters that were attempting to make their way into Israel via the Mediterranean Sea. Additionally, the Hamas naval force has also been responsible for going out and picking up dead drops in the Med in the past when Iran would drop them off to them. Some other big things that we are going to be covering in this podcast are going to include what is taking place up along the Lebanese border in between the IDF, the IAF, and Hezbollah. Airstrikes have increased significantly up there, and a lot of munitions have been flowing both ways across the border. We're going to switch our focus right now, and we're going to start zooming in all the way down here on Rafah to give you kind of a situational update for what the IDF is doing inside of Eastern Rafah. Now, I told you guys it's going to take several days likely for them to clear this area out. As it turns out, overnight, the IDF actually came across more tunnels in this general vicinity. If I switch it over here and bring up the imagery portion of Google Maps, what you're going to see is the Saladin Road that leads right down to the Rafah border crossing, where there is currently IDF troops holding it down. Yesterday, we got information that they had actually pushed a couple hundred meters beyond it and are locking that space down. For the most part, though, the IDF is operating just to the east of the Saladin Road. Now, over in that vicinity, they have also found several tunnels, and they have called in combat engineers to start blowing those tunnels. The IDF is not going to move on. You are going to know before the IDF moves out and continues on to the second phase of this operation. The reason you're going to know is they're going to go about the same way that they did on this. They're going to be dropping leaflets into the next area, warning the residents to move out and evacuate over to Khan Yunis, where they currently have tents set up for internally displaced persons. Those tents include things like beds, toilets, and in addition to all that, they also have like what we call in the military mess tents, right? So they got places over there for them to be able to go and get food, and they're consolidating everything in that general vicinity to supply the internally displaced people with inside the Gaza Strip. Now, the IDF did release more footage today of their entry going into Eastern Rafah. The footage itself, actually, in my opinion, looks pretty cool, but it really doesn't do anything to tell us about what they have done so far on the ground. A lot of the information we're getting from IDF soldiers themselves, as well as official statements that the IDF has released. As you can see, they brought an absolute arsenal with them, and you can see why they were able to lock down that area so quickly. Dozens of tanks, dozens of armored personnel carrier, just dozens of units of freaking foot soldiers that are just out moving throughout Eastern Rafah right now, likely clearing out that entire space. I am getting some independent reports from folks on the ground. They're telling me that they are taking sporadic gunfire throughout the area, and the IDF actually would agree. They actually said overnight they took out an RPG team as well as several insurgents throughout their operations. No word on whether they took those insurgents out in tunnels or whether they were attacked and they took out those teams separately. Have no idea. That information was not released. However, those tanks inside of East Rafah are actually putting in some decent work. We're getting videos released like this one. This video reportedly shows an IDF tank shooting into a Hamas observation post that they had spotted. And then the result of that, tank strike ended up being that giant fireball over there behind them. Now, that could be because they had fuel stored, number one, or a lot of ammunition stored up in that general vicinity that ended up causing that sympathetic detonation that you're seeing on your screen right now. Unfortunately, the propaganda machine is underway when it comes to the Times of Gaza and online bloggers who are now claiming that because of this video I'm about to show you, Israeli tanks are shooting indiscriminately into Palestinian tents inside Eastern Rafah. I'll play the short clip, and then afterwards I'm going to pause for a second and break it down and point some things out to you. These are not tents filled with civilians, and there's evidence in this video itself that would suggest that. Now, I don't know how many of you know a thing or two about tanks, but likely the shells that those tanks are shooting would rip directly through the side of a tent and would not cause the shell to detonate. Additionally, when we go back to the video and we begin to analyze it, we can see that right in front of the tank before it even shoots, it's not even a tent, it's a flipping brick wall. Okay, they're shooting into a brick wall. You can zoom in on that and check it out. It is quite literally a brick wall. Additionally, once the tank ends up firing, you end up seeing something very interesting. The tank goes off, the round impacts the actual location itself. Afterwards, we have some clues as to what was inside that, you know, building itself that the tank shot at. You can immediately start seeing some other stuff flying out that appears to be on fire. Now, as that stuff begins to fly out, it actually takes a second when you go frame by frame, and you start seeing giant chunks of metal. Now, in this particular image right here that I've stomped on, there's actually four chunks of metal that you can see. One flying away over here off the left, one flying away over here off to the right, one just directly above it, and then above that, there's another one. And what you're going to notice about these chunks of metal when you view this video frame by frame is that those chunks of metal are all pretty much uniform in shape and size. In addition to that, they're curved and they're bent, which is going to suggest that it is not brick that's flying through the air, it's something metal. Now, when we look at the detonation that occurred and the amount of crap that's flying out of there, I think it's pretty reasonable to assume that this was likely, right, a Hamas multi-rocket launcher that we know they are in possession of, and that those chunks of metal that you're seeing that are uniform in nature were likely a result of the detonation and blowing them in four different directions, as you can see here inside of this video. Now, shifting focus out of the Gaza Strip and going up here towards northern Israel, there was over 50 munitions today that were fired into Israel from Lebanon by Hezbollah. In the wee early morning hours, I ended up getting a crap ton of alerts here in the United States showing us the amount of munitions that were being fired into northern Israel. It looked like the bulk of the fire was concentrated somewhere in this general vicinity. Okay, this is the suspected impact locations of the bulk of those munitions that were fired. Additionally, I was getting reports coming in from several people that were saying that they are hearing a massive amount of Israeli aircraft that were flying overhead, likely traveling into Lebanon. Then we started to get more videos coming out from Lebanon, which are showing Israeli airstrikes on the ground going up against Hezbollah forces. Word on the street is that over 30 particular targets were actioned by the IDF overnight and into the morning hours local time, which ended up taking large amounts of Hezbollah fighters out. Now, in this particular airstrike that's up on the screen, it's being reported it was targeting Hezbollah's elite Radwan force, okay, and that they ended up having a very successful strike against them. Some of this footage, honestly, is a little bit grainy. You can't really tell what exactly it is they're targeting. You don't really see any munitions or anything like that. So you're going to basically just have to take the IDF at the word that that is what was inside that building. Of course, they're going to use signal intelligence, open source intelligence, human, all sorts of different intelligence to determine the locations of these fighters. And a lot of people don't understand that you need that intelligence in order to start making these airstrikes. I feel like there is a common misconception that's out there that Israel just has a drone hovering overhead and that is where they're going to end up, you know, getting the bulk of their intel from. Really, it's not. It's a conglomeration of all sorts of different intelligence that's meshed together. If you're anything like me, you got a certain tendency to kind of put some stuff off until the very last minute. I know personally, I have dirty dishes sitting in my sink and a stack of laundry sitting on my bed just waiting to get folded. And while most of the time, stuff like that's going to work out, the one thing that you really cannot afford to wait on is setting up term coverage life insurance. You've probably seen life insurance commercials on TV and thought, yeah, I'll look into it later. I'm telling you right now, don't do that. No, this isn't something that you can just wait on. Choose life insurance through Ladder today. Ladder is 100% digital, no doctors and no needles and no paperwork when you apply for $3 million in coverage or less. Just answer a few questions about your health in an application. Ladder's customers rate them 4.8 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot, and they made Forbes Best Life Insurance 2021 list. You just need a few minutes and a phone or a laptop to apply. Ladder's smart algorithms work in real time, so you'll find out if you are instantly approved. No hidden fees. You can cancel anytime. Get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. Ladder's policies are issued by insurers with long proven histories of paying claims. They're rated A and A plus by AM Best. Finally, life insurance costs more as you age. Now is your time to cross it off of your list. So go to ladderlife.com/Rob today to see if you are instantly approved. That's ladderlife.com/Rob. ladderlife.com/Rob. Here's another video the IDF said struck a Hezbollah military compound in the area of southern Lebanon. They actually went to town last night. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm kidding you not, 30 targets were action, not 30 particular munitions, but 30 separate targets were actually actioned, is what the word on the street is, by the Israeli Air Force overnight. Now, I told you guys leading into this that when we started seeing increased airstrikes inside Lebanon, it could signify a ground invasion by the IDF. Now, that might not necessarily be what's going on inside of all of these videos. The other possible explanation is actually quite simple. The IDF might have actually picked up that Hezbollah may have an attack coming up through all of their different intelligence sources. They could have also confirmed that through ISR and were able to then spot some of these fighters moving into position, which then prompted Israel to open up and start targeting them to basically keep them from attempting to invade Israel. Now, I did tell you that these airstrikes went overnight and carried off into the morning inside southern Lebanon. And some of the best videos that we're getting are actually from the daylight, coming from Lebanese civilians who are actually reporting on these separate locations. So that figure that I'm giving you about the 30 different airstrikes, yeah, it's pieced together from open source intelligence. So we don't have an official statement yet from the IDF that I've been able to find on how many airstrikes they actually did conduct. But what we do know is that the IDF did, in fact, increase their aerial operations into southern Lebanon via all of these videos. We have multiple angles of several of these shots of different people who are not affiliated, all reporting the exact same thing. Take this time to remind you that Hezbollah has over 100,000 fighters, and that is going to put a significant strain on the Israeli Defense Force should they have to defend their territory from a Hezbollah invasion. I was told earlier today that several senior IDF officers are stating that the munitions that they're relying upon from the U.S. to get delivered, they actually don't really need, that they've already taken enough munitions and set them aside for the Gaza Strip and taken enough munitions and set them aside should they need to go after Hezbollah inside of Lebanon. Following the attack on East Rafah, we started to get information that the Biden administration was going to be delaying and or canceling arms shipments into Israel. Now, that obviously comes after a long drawn out process of actually getting the aid bill signed through both the House and the Senate. Eventually, Biden did end up signing it and everything was on its way. Word is that it's actually on the ground inside Cyprus. Of course, that is unconfirmed. Now, we have been hearing that these shipments that are being held up include 500 and 2,000 pound bombs, as well as guidance packages for those bombs. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, in his statement today, actually said that it's only going to be one shipment. Give it a listen.
And so we're going to continue to do what's necessary to ensure that Israel has the means to defend itself. But that said, we are currently reviewing some near-term security assistance shipments in the context of unfolding events in Rafah. So we've been very clear, Senator, as you know, from the very beginning that Israel shouldn't launch a major attack in Rafah without accounting for and protecting the civilians that are in that battle space. And again, as we have assessed the situation, we paused one shipment of high payload munitions. I think we've also been very clear about the steps that we'd like to see Israel take to account for and take care of those civilians before major combat takes place. We certainly would like to see no major combat take place in Rafah, but certainly our focus is on making sure that we protect the civilians. And we've not made a final determination on how to proceed with that shipment. And I would highlight that This shipment doesn't have anything to do with the supplemental appropriations that that you just helped us get.
So really what we know is that the U.S. government hasn't made their final decision yet on whether or not they're going to release those munitions into Israel. I hope you enjoyed this quick update. Thank you guys for joining me for another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. We're live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. I look forward to seeing you guys over there. Peace, love, happiness, and God bless, ladies and gentlemen. I'm out of here.